Hi, I'm Jennifer Perry, your host of the Shiro Effect podcast, which is your guide to empowerment. And I'm so grateful that you found us. I started this podcast to invite you into conversations that are designed to help you live with more freedom and ease. I believe that when you reclaim your power and embrace your true potential, you become the Shiro of your own story, who can deal with relationship struggles, work challenges, and life's ups and downs with more ease and grace. Let's grow. Hi, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of the Shiro Effect podcast. I am your host, Jennifer Perry, and I am a transformational life and empowerment coach. I have personally transformed my own life, so I want to come on here to help you do the same. Today, I am super excited to have a very special guest, Candace Thompson. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
So good that you're here. Candace is a psychotherapist and a mental health consultant. And I saw a reach out that she did on LinkedIn about wanting to talk about Mental Health Awareness Month. Mental health is extremely important. I think all of us, to some extent, struggle with something. We are both advocates for mental health awareness and handle it in our coaching and our consulting. I already know how wonderful you are, but can you share with everybody a little bit about who you are, where you're located, and what you do?
Yes. So I am a psychotherapist, which is just a fancy term for a talk therapist. I have been practicing in the Silicon Valley for 16 years. I am licensed in the state of California and Oregon. And I am also an adjunct teacher. I'm outspoken on LinkedIn about mental health advocacy. And I also do mental health consulting for organizations that want to promote mental health but don't have the clinical background.
That is amazing. And I'm so thankful that you do that. I deal with a lot of women that are coming through divorce or domestic violence situations who are just trying to get a hold of their life and stand back up for themselves again. And there is so much damage that has been done to them in those relationships that sometimes they don't even realize how much.
Yeah.
So when they actually realize that in the midst of all of it, they have to reclaim who they are, that they have a voice and everything. It's good that we are talking about this topic because sometimes it's a very difficult one to talk about. First question I have for you is, how do you know when it's time to see a therapist? How does someone know if they need to reach out to somebody like you, the time is now that I need to do that?
So what I generally say is when you've tried everything else and it's not working. So a lot of times as humans, we feel like we can will ourselves to feel better. I think humans want to be resilient. There can still be shame around mental health, even though we live in a time that we're talking about it more than ever before. And it's widely accepted that I think for a lot of us, there's this sense of I should be able to rise above this or this isn't that big of a deal. But if you've tried all the coping skills you have in your satchel and you've tried reaching out to friends and you don't find relief, then that's a great time to sit with a therapist because a therapist can also help assess the situation with you and walk you through. For some people, they come in and they just need a few months of therapy and they're good and they get what they need. Others, there is deeper lifelong issues from their childhood that come up. And then some people really need to deconstruct that over the course of a longer period of time. But a therapist is a great person to be able to share with you after a session or two what their recommendations would be.
I recently was talking with a woman who was in therapy and she came to me and didn't want to have to give up her therapist. And I'm like, I don't want you to give up your therapist. We do things that are very different. And I think also when you're going through something, the more people that you have in your corner who are there to support you, to listen, to hold space for you is powerful. So why not? And do you find that sometimes people just don't know who to go to or who to talk to? Because I hear it all the time. You really should find somebody to talk to. That's great. You would think you could talk to your friends, to your family, to your significant other. But sometimes you don't even know what to say or how to say it because you don't want people to form an opinion of you that is not correct. Or that now they're going to hold you at arm's length because they feel like something is wrong with you.
Yeah, that's such a great question. And of course, friends, family members, fantastic. If you have those secure people in your life, that can be so helpful. However, sometimes those people that love us the most are also triggering us. They have the same blind spots. They're part of the cycles that we're in. And they might not be able to see outside of yourself the way that a professional can. And this is such a good question because I find that in our day and age, we're in this pocket of time where everyone wants to be an expert and you've got Instagram and TikTok and it's hard to know what an actual expert is. And there's all these different letters behind someone's name. And so when we're talking about psychotherapy, which is you are talking with someone about your childhood, you're going through the past to find healing and anything underneath the mental health umbrella, you ought to see a licensed therapist. So anyone who isn't licensed is not legally allowed to practice psychotherapy because it's healthcare without a license. So that can be something like, so I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and the marriage and family therapy does not mean I can only see couples. It means that I'm trained to see anyone within a relational context, which means any human being for mental health issues. But there's also licensed social workers. There are licensed professional counselors. It also depends, different states have different acronyms, but you want to look at what's that license. So to be a licensed therapist, you have to get your master's and then you have to sit for 3,000 hours in training, which means you're giving therapy, but underneath the guidance of a supervisor who you're talking about those cases with. So you do that for several years. And then, you know, you submit those hours and then you sit for 2 board licensing exams. So sometimes when people say I'm an expert in therapy, they don't realize the background to do all of that. It's about the same amount of time, if not more, than to become a dentist. So it's actually a lot of training that goes into it because it's a delicate role to play. You were trained not to put any of our baggage onto someone else, to not project. We're trained to hold space for really complicated, sometimes scary, traumatizing information and how to hold that and not react to that and to be able to be this pure, safe, secure space for someone so that they're able to have these reparative moments. And that in and of itself is proven to rewire the brain by having a secure, loving person hold space to talk about trauma. And it doesn't just have to be trauma that we go through. People come in for all sorts of things. Sometimes it's stress, anxiety, or feeling insecure, trying to navigate relationships or a breakup, but really going to someone that has that expertise. And then, of course, you have the coaching industry, which has really come up and thriving over the last several years. And I say those are the people that are like, those are the cheerleaders. Those are the individuals that you go to get that support, that really concrete next steps. What do I do from here? Maybe you do it in tandem with a therapist, or you've gotten the therapy and now you just feel, you know, now what? And a lot more of that behavioral concrete, having a buddy next to you that's giving you that strength of what to do next.
And thank you for sharing all that too, because I think people need to understand that when somebody says they're an expert or that they're a specialist, understanding that they truly are is so important, because it's going to be the quality and the level of care and attention that you get. I'm a CDC certified divorce coach. I'm a transformational life coach, but I had to go through things to get there because it's important, like to your point, being sure that you can hold space, not react when somebody is sharing with you some very important details of their life that are very hard for them to share, preventing yourself from taking that home with you. As that, I think that COVID made all of us life coaches. I think the coaching industry just exploded after everyone was confined in their homes. But you bring up a very good point too, because there is a huge difference between therapy and coaching.
Yes.
And I have such respect for you. And there is just a big difference. And I want to talk a little bit about the difference, because I have probably half of my clients who I work with in the coaching capacity have therapists. And they have a wonderful relationship with their therapist, and their therapist is really helping them uncover what's the source of what's going on. And in some cases, go way back in their life to where it started and really helping them internally. And my job as a coach is to come alongside you and to keep you forward focused and to help further instill in you the reason why your therapist is sharing these things and how I can provide practical skills. What do you see are the really big differences between therapy and coaching that sometimes people get confused?
Yeah, so I love what you said. So therapists are trained to go in the past. So we can do the past, the present, and we can do the future. Where coaches are really specialized in the future, and I don't want to upset anyone, because I think sometimes based on the coaching, people don't know. Coaching right now is not a regulated field. And so some have phenomenal training and go through a certification, and some don't. Some people just do a 6 weeks course online and they don't know the difference between crossing the line into psychotherapy. So psychotherapy is healthcare. It's addressing mental health diagnoses. And so we can do all of the different interventions to help someone heal from a trauma, from a mental health symptom, where coaches, like you said, are great with, okay, now we're moving forward. What are these practical steps moving forward? And I think what I've seen is coaches that will just then say, oh, I'm a trauma coach, or I can go into these places, and that's actually illegal, and it's practicing without a license. And so that's when it can become really dangerous. And I try to be an advocate for this because I want consumers to have good care. And I think we all mostly have good intentions. I don't think coaches out there that do this are doing it maliciously. I think that they just don't know where that line is. And so really advocating for that understanding. I just had this conversation recently because the gal that I did a talk with has her master's, got her hours, but didn't get licensed yet. And she thought, oh, I'll just be a coach instead of waiting for my license to be a therapist. But then she's marketing herself as a therapist, right? And it's totally illegal. And I don't think she's doing it to harm anyone. I reached out to her to say, hey, here are the things that you can, if you just want to do the coaching route, then here's the things you could talk about. But if you want to go into neuropsych and helping someone rewire the brain, you're in therapy territory. And so I think it's really important from a consumer side. And, you know, if you're practicing coaching, to know the difference, what interventions and what topics are actually under the therapeutic umbrella. And I think coaches do well when they have a good referral source. Hey, here's an area I'd love to talk about these things, but this other thing you mentioned, I would love to refer you to a therapist. I'll give you a couple names after a session. That's how therapists and coaches can pair together really nicely.
I'm happy that you're advocating for that too. When you see something happening, I'm glad that you're addressing it.
Yeah. And even for therapists, like, I'm not a medical doctor. So there's times the client wants to talk about their antidepressant. And so those disclaimers are so important for me to say, I'm not a doctor. Here's some things, though, that you can ask your doctor about. So I can provide that guidance, but it's in the realm of, you know, this is for your doctor. And I can't speak on that because I don't want to practice without a medical license. Yeah, I think I'm up in a lot of ways in being able to. I think I was just trained that I always see a lawyer behind my back, even when I'm writing my notes. I'm always thinking I want to stay above the law. I want to stay ethical for the good of my client, and I want to speak out of what I know, but also for the good of myself. I don't ever want to be placed in a lawsuit for something and having to backpedal a mistake that I made.
No. Let me ask you this question. What got you into this field? What made you want to be a psychotherapist, and what really has brought you to advocating for mental health?
Yeah, great question. So I always thought I would be a lawyer. I was the captain of my debate team in high school. I really loved law. And I started studying that in college. And it didn't really do anything for me. I feel like we're going over a lot of policy and philosophy, and I didn't really see the application as much. And then I went and saw a therapist who was like a grad student at the university I was at. And I loved her. I really feel like she changed my life. I was trying to figure out my identity. I would come to school one day very preppy. The next day, I honestly had a faux hawk for a while. I had blue quips in my hair, a skateboard. I was really trying to understand who I was. And she was so loving and generous with me. And just, this is a natural stage of this season of life. And really having her made me want to look into becoming a therapist. And I took my first Psych 101 class, and it just lit me up. Oh, this, I want to study it. I want to learn these things. And so that I switched my major and never looked back since. And honestly, there's things in life you feel like, oh, it's meant to do this. I definitely feel like this, I was meant to be a therapist. And then the advocacy part has come more over the last few years. I joined LinkedIn not that long ago, maybe a year and a half. And that's when I started seeing and experiencing what else was out there and seeing what someone would say, oh, I'm an expert in this. And then LinkedIn's such a great place where I could go on. I could look, what was their degree? What certifications do they actually have? And it was shocking to me how many people without the experience would speak on mental health And I actually ended up consulting with a company that first said they were a mental health care company, and they had no clinicians on staff, no clinical team in their executive. Yeah. And it was just peer-to-peer based support. And I then did all the research, so this doesn't seem right. And it wasn't. I went back to them and they ended up changing the name to Mental Fitness because they were providing mental health care. And I think that there's money right now in mental health because people see there's a need. And so I've gotten really passionate about educating people on here's what you can do and here's when you cross the line, and really helping people see, especially if you're making products for therapists or for therapy. If you don't have the eye of a clinician, you don't know what you're actually looking for. And so that's been a really fun part of the work that I've done more recently, is helping people see it through the eyes of a therapist.
That's amazing work. Do you believe that we are probably in the greatest season of our lives for people to feel more comfortable talking about it? I think that there seems to be more acceptance. I think that probably has a lot to do with the expansion of social media. Has a lot to do with just different little pockets on the internet that you can find. I also think too that there's a lot of people in influential positions in life and in industries and who are coming and talking about areas that they were struggling with, whether it be suicidal thoughts or depression or all different things. I think having some visibility, people identifying with that person can share their story. I can certainly share my story too. If you have somebody in your life that is struggling, what is the best way to have a conversation with them, to start the conversation?
I think always starting with your own vulnerability. Like you just said, what makes mental health a more widely accepted conversation is that people are coming out and saying, this is my experience. And it's disarming for people. So if you can go to someone that you see struggling and be able to share with them, hey, here's a time in my life where I was struggling and I'm starting to see some of those signs in you and I'm worried about you and I want you to get support. Here's some things that have helped me. That can be better accepted. Don't blame someone. Don't criticize them. Don't demean them. When someone's going through a hard time, they already feel a lot of that self-shame. And so hearing messages like, oh, just look on the bright side, can feel really demeaning because I bet that person's been trying really hard to look at the bright side and trying to move past it. And if you're seeing the symptoms and they've already been doing that past the point of being able to hide it, and now their symptoms are so big that other people are starting to notice it. And so being able to tread lightly and not say anything that would actually, you know, we might think positive is good, but it can be really demeaning to hear our thing. We hear this all the time when someone's gone through a miscarriage and someone says, oh, well, you can have another baby. Oh, that's so painstakingly hurtful, rather than saying, I'm so sorry, right? That I'm so sorry for this. I can't imagine how painful this is. That's what people need, is that's what attunement is. Attunement is, I can match what you're experiencing and I don't feel the pressure to take you out of that experience. I can just sit right here with you and provide empathy in the experience that you're in.
If you have a family member or friend that you know is struggling, you've had conversations with them and they're not getting the help that they need, what can you do with that?
Yeah, it's hard. And that might be a time to do work on yourself, because it's really hard to see someone and to feel that sense of powerlessness. We want to feel like we have an impact. We want to feel like we're making a difference. And sometimes someone's just not in a state of mind that they want to take that. And it can be really difficult to not slip that into a codependent relationship where you're enabling them. And I think this is really hard for parents. They don't want to see their kids. Of course, if you're afraid of someone taking their life, monitor those things. If it's your child, make sure that they don't have access to anything harmful. The most simple thing that you could do is to make sure there's no guns accessible in the home, that they're locked up, really practicing that safe storage or anything else, knives, keeping a mindset. Because it's wild to me, sometimes I've had parents come in and their kids are cutting. And then I ask, what do they have access to? Oh, there's scissors in their room, all these things. It's all, you really want to be mindful to take anything away that would perpetuate that harm, or that the harm could go somewhere lethal. But if you're worried about someone committing suicide, the advice is always that you just ask. Because if they're thinking about it, you asking does not plant the idea in their mind, it just allows some space to say, hey, I'm worrying about you. Have you thought about harming yourself? Have you thought about committing suicide? Oftentimes just being asked can help someone so much because we want to feel connected. We want to feel loved. And it's amazing how many times I've seen someone be 5150'd, which means they're placed on a hold at a psych hospital because they're a danger to themselves. And sometimes just that act of love, that their family took them seriously, that their families got them into the right place, is enough to get them out of that moment. Of course, they get therapy and work through whatever was causing them to be there. But seeing that kind of love, that someone they cared about wasn't afraid to ask, wasn't afraid to do the hard things. And the 5150 is if someone says that they want to harm themselves to the point of death, they say they had a plan, that you feel like it's an immediate risk, that you can't just wait and see how it plays out. That's when you can get someone hospitalized involuntarily. But otherwise, we're caught in this space where we're loving someone. We see maybe the path out and they don't. And that's when, you know, if you have a belief system, praying for them and then getting the help you need to go through what it's like to watch and witness someone choosing that path.
I've had a couple clients who have lived with survivor's guilt. Do you have any advice for them?
I would say psychotherapy would be the only advice that I would give, because even if that wasn't your original struggle, now you have this burden that is. And there's no simple way to get yourself out. You know, no one can just say to you, oh, it wasn't your fault. That's not going to take away that pain. That's not going to take away whatever deep thought process that you have that you can't get out of believing that you could have done something different. And so therapists are trained to ask thoughtful questions to get you to deconstruct and even find. A lot of times we don't know, it's unconscious, the belief systems that we have around why we would hold guilt or believe something is our fault. And so revealing those deeper ideas and helping you find more true narratives, it can be a really deep process. And it might uncover other things that you've been through in life that you didn't even realize was connected to that sense of guilt or shame. So yeah, there's no simple answer for a lot of these things. And I think we live in a culture too that wants, what's the one pill or what's the one thing right, that will just answer and that will make it all go away. And humans go through a process of formation, our development, just like when we're kids and we learn how to crawl, then walk, and then to ride a bike. It takes time, and we have to strengthen our muscles and different skills to be able to go from crawling to riding a bike. And the same is true for our emotional inner world, is you have to build up the capacity before you can even get to more complex things. And therapy, I always liken it to, if you've ever cleaned out a garage or a closet, comes a point where you just got crap all over the place, but it feels worse than you started with, because now everything's more disorganized. But that's just the midpoint. And so sometimes therapy does make things feel a little worse before it gets better. But we're not meant to leave you in that deconstructed phase when you are at the point where, you know, everything's on your driveway because you're cleaning out your garage. That's the point when you can start throwing things out, labeling boxes, organizing, building shelves. And so that's the second half of therapy, is now re-putting things back into place to help someone become integrated. And that's when after therapy, you can live out of a new, healed, integrated space.
Before we wrap up today, Candace, is there anything that you would like to add to our conversation?
Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity. I just want to encourage anyone out there, like you said at the start, we are all carrying something, and there's a spectrum. And some people, the burdens might not be as heavy as others. And I also see that too when people come into my office and they feel like, they compare. I don't know what someone else has had, so it's not a big deal. We carry the burdens that we carry, and it's not meant to be comparative. If something is affecting your life and you want to move through it, then that's enough to seek the help that you need. And so I hope that everyone can just be encouraged today that there's lots of help out there to access. And you don't need to have terrible symptoms or be in a crisis to access it, that you can access it as is and help, have someone there to help assess you and get you a roadmap for what to do to get out of it.
I'm so thankful that you came on to have this conversation with me. It's not an easy conversation to have, but we hope that if you're listening, that we've made it a little bit easier for you and that you know that there are people here who want to help you and listen and be there for you. What is the best way for people to get a hold of you, Candace?
Yeah, so I provide psychotherapy in the state of California and Oregon. If anyone wants therapy and lives there, or if you're looking for a keynote opportunity, if you want me to come and do some consulting for your mental health organization, or if you've heard this and you're a coach and you want me to come and talk to your group of coaches around the scope of practice, there's all sorts of things I love to do. So the best ways to find me, I do have a website that is my full name. It's www.candacethompson.com, and that's Candace with an I and Thompson with a P. I'm also very active on LinkedIn, so please find and connect with me there. I always love having genuine connections. That's literally how I met Jennifer. When I connect with people on LinkedIn, I want a genuine conversation and relationship with them. And so that's a great place to find me as well at, Candace Thompson. I think LMFT is my handle there. So happy to connect further with anyone who's interested.
Awesome. Thank you all again for tuning in for another episode of the Shiro Effect podcast. I'm going to make sure that all of Candace's contact information is available in the description. And thank you so much, Candace, for all that you're doing to shine awareness on mental health and for having conversations that are not easy to have. And I look forward to hopefully having you back one day.
Thank you so much. Yes, please.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
And that's a wrap on today's episode. You've laughed, you've learned, and most importantly, you've grown. Thanks for tuning in to The Shiro Effect, your go-to destination for empowerment and growth. Remember, you have the power to shape your destiny. Keep chasing the light, embracing your extraordinary, and spreading those empowered wings. Dive deeper into our community at jenniferperry.com. Until next time, keep shining, keep soaring, and transform your world one epic moment at a time. This is Jennifer Perry reminding you that your journey is limitless and your potential boundless. Until next time.